Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course,
William Ramo.
What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going out there, people? How's it going, Will?
I'm doing all right. I'm sure everybody's doing well. You know, a lot of stuff going on in the sports world. You got Derrick Rose coming to the Knicks. We'll get into that momentarily. The NBA Finals has come and gone. We have a new champion now. And, of course, it's the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll get into that and their upset against, the former reigning, defending, undisputed champion, Golden State Warriors. We'll get into that. We'll also talk about what's going on in the other world of, sports. Durant possibly coming to the Knicks, Jose Reyes returning to the Mets, even though he's, not the same player that he used to be, but we'll get into that also. And, of course, as you heard the theme song, we're going to dive in into what happened at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view event. And, of course, Ambrose finally winning the title, the elusive WWE World Heavyweight Championship. And, of course, most importantly, we'll talk about these topics and more. And, of course, most importantly, the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to talk about these topics and more. And, of course, I want to thank you all for listening to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Of course, with Macaulay Matthew and, of course, me, William Ramo. So without further ado, let's talk about the NBA Finals, man. We knew it was going to be epic game, Game 7. There's nothing bigger than Game 7. There's only one thing. Actually, there's only two things that can mirror, Game 7 of any sport. And that's the Super Bowl and WrestleMania. Yeah. You're a wrestling fan. And unless if you're a Warriors fan, this Game 7 did not disappoint. It went all the way down to the wire until the Cavaliers were able to get it, get the lead to a 4-point lead. And basically, the Cavs were able to hold on to the lead. I think the lead had like 11 changes at one point, but, you got to give the Cavs credit, especially LeBron James. He had a triple-double. Which is a rarity, in Game 7 of the NBA Finals. So you gotta give it up to LeBron James. He had a career performance. Stephen Curry, who I've always considered the evolved form of John Starks. Man, he had unfortunately a John Starks like performance. He didn't have his A game, even though he did promise for Game 7 that he would have a great game, and they need him to play well. Fortunately, he didn't he didn't play that well Game 7, but gotta give credit to the Cavaliers. They finally brought the title home. First time in history the Cavaliers won a championship. This was the first championship in the city of Cleveland since 1964, when the Cleveland Browns won, the Super Bowl, the NFL championship at that point. So, congratulations to the Cavaliers, the city of Cleveland, and all the Cavalier players, and the Warriors. They had a 3-1 lead. But, they, for the most part, they played well. I mean, other than, them blowing the lead, Now all the Warriors have to do is try to regroup and try to, defeat the Cavs.
Yeah,
right,
man.
Now this is the I'm sorry. Continue.
Oh, no, I was saying, yeah. I mean, the Warriors were 73-9, and they were one game away from winning the championship and completing one of the greatest seasons ever, but it fell short. Couldn't do it, unfortunately.
Absolutely. You're 100% right. And right now, this looks like this is going to be the premier rivalry in basketball right now. They're trading wins, you know, kind of similar to the, you know, the Knicks and the Lakers in the 70s. You know, they the Knicks beat the Lakers in 70 for the first championship. Then the 72, the Lakers won their first title out of Milwaukee into Minneapolis, their first title in LA against the Lakers in, against the Knicks in 72. And then the following year, 73, the Knicks would defeat the Lakers. And unfortunately for the Knicks fans, that would be the last time the Knicks would win a title. But the Cavs, they finally won the title. And LeBron James wasn't humble about it. He was throwing major shade at the Warriors, wearing an Ultimate Warrior T-shirt. And, of course, the Kermit the Frog sipping tea, which, you know, is a popular meme on the internet when you're, you know, insulting somebody. So he definitely was not eating humble pie this celebration.
Oh, yeah, and he threw some shade at the Knicks during the speech at the parade there, you know.
Absolutely. So.
Definitely wasn't eating humble pie, that's for sure.
Yes, he was definitely not a humble winner. He was a sore winner. You know, like you were alluding to, he was saying how, you know, he was shocked that that J.R. Smith was a throw-in into the, you know, the deal that sent, you know, J.R. Smith and Shumpert to the Cavs.
Yep.
But speaking of the aforementioned Knicks, you know, obviously a team that's trying to chase the Cavs and try to bring the title back to City. The New York Knicks, they made a big acquisition. They acquired Derrick Rose and Justin Holiday, obviously. And plus, in addition, a second-round pick for next year's draft. And as a result, they sent Jaren Grant, who's a point guard from Notre Dame, who has promise and potential, even though he didn't really play that much this past rookie season. They got rid of Robin Lopez, who played a very he played very well as a Knick. He gave them that toughness, you know, in the paint that they lost in some, like, trading away Tyson Chandler back to the Mavericks a few years ago. And they also traded away Jose Calderon, who was, I mean, he was brutal as a point guard. I mean, Ihanda would have been a better point guard. And this guy, my goodness, he was horrible. Thank God he's gone. And as a result, the Knicks have a point guard when healthy, who's explosive, who could, you know, pass the ball like nobody else. This guy could penetrate, man, and this guy's a former MVP, the youngest NBA MVP. I mean, this guy, you know, he brought pressure because, I mean, he played his entire career in his hometown, Chicago, you know, playing in front of his family and friends. So, you know, that's a lot of pressure. So, you know, similar to LeBron James, you know, he was supposed to be the chosen one to bring the title back to Chicago since the days of Jordan. But unfortunately, injuries prevented him from, you know, fulfilling his destiny, his perceived destiny in Chicago. Now he's traded to New York, a change of scenery, and he's hoping that he could hopefully end the Knicks' drought. 43 years out, you know. And, you know, he's going to be teamed up with Porzingis, the rookie who had a promising year. But, you know, unfortunately lost the Rookie of the Year to Towns. I mean, excuse me. And also, you know, Carmelo Anthony. And potentially, maybe they might even acquire Kevin Durant, you know, because apparently Kevin Durant is intrigued by Porzingis, Melo, and Rose. So that's a possibility. And if they get Durant, I mean, you know,
that'd be great.
That's
super
That's a super team. That's the Eastern Conference final team battling out with the Cavs.
Yeah.
To most likely face the Warriors in the finals right there. And then you get a center, you know, Noah, who's a guy who he just exemplifies what a Knick is, you know, a hard-nosed underdog guy who doesn't take crap from anybody, who, you know, who's an enforcer type guy, just like, you know, Mason and Oakley of yesteryear, you know, in the 90s. And then you also have Dwight Howard, who's very talented when motivated, but, you know, he has a reputation of being softer than Enzo Amore and Big Cass opponent in WWE. So he really needs to get his act together, you know. But I'm going to ask you a question. I know you know, there's other centers, you know, available, you know, but if you had your choice between Noah or Pau Gasol, Pau Gasol would be another one, but if you had your choice between Noah or Howard, who would you go for?
Well, of course it'd be Noah. I mean, he plays better defensive player, even though he's not the scorer that Dwight Howard is, but yeah, I mean, he reminds me of, you know, the old, those 90s Knicks players who were tough, gritty, got in your face, great defense. You know, we need a guy like that. But I'm hearing that Wizards are offering Noah the max contract. So Knicks might not even have a chance to even acquire Noah. So,
yeah, the only way he'd come here for less is if he really wants to rejoin Rose, who made it abundantly clear in his press conference on Friday that that Noah and his entire family knows how much he wants to, you know, play with Noah again, but this time in New York. So is it going to be interesting to see? Will he take less? Will a player finally take less money? In this new free agency era, will they take less money to come to Knicks, or will it be the typical, you know, the highest bidder, you know, a player will you know, sign with, which has been going on since, you know, man, for the past 16 years or so in the NBA or so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, to me, I'd be happy with either one, Noah. And if Howard is really motivated and not trying to do this to try to get publicity and try to reestablish his brand so he could try to act or something like that, if he's truly motivated and he gains a chip on his shoulder, you know, free throw weakness aside, it could be a big move. I mean, if he's really motivated and he's, you know, returned to the dominant center that he was in Orlando before, you know, he allegedly, you know, killed Stan Van Gundy's career as a head coach in Orlando. You know, he could be a really imposing guy.
Yeah, you know, I think he could, just like Rose, I think he also has something to prove that, you know, he can still score in the paint, rebound, be one of the best centers in the league like he used to with Orlando. So
yeah.
I think he also has a chip on his shoulder.
Hopefully he realizes that, and if he does come to the Knicks, you know, he'll finally you know, live up to the potential that he had from a long time ago.
Yeah.
And, yeah, another thing about Noah, another plus for Noah, you have a lot of guys who need the ball. You know, Porzingis, of course, Melo, and Rose. You know, obviously he's a great scorer, but obviously he's an elite passer as well. So the good thing about Noah is that he doesn't need the ball, you know. He's not, you know, a scorer, so that's one less person they have to worry about, you know, sharing the ball at a, you know, at a high pace, yeah. You know. But it's going to be interesting to see what the Knicks are going to do in this off season, and the key to that off season is them, you know, hopefully, God willing, acquire Kevin Durant, even though he's rumored to be going to the Warriors and the Spurs, maybe even the Cavs. But to me, that's just overkill. None of those teams need them, because those teams are championship caliber teams. I mean, it's just overkill. But
yeah.
We shall see what happens. And shifting gears, with a team that has aspirations winning a championship, and of course I'm talking about the New York Mets. They reacquire a fan favorite, my favorite player on the Mets, until he left and signed with Miami for like a 6-year, $106 million contract. And of course, I'm talking about Jose Reyes. I'm conflicted. I'm very happy to see him back, you know, in a Met uniform. I mean, like I said, you know, he was like, you know, I was a Met fan since 99. So, you know, Piazza was already on the team since a year prior to that, you know, via trade. And so all the guys, all the Met greats that I've seen them, you know, in the middle to the end of their, you know, Met career. I never saw a Met great other than first Reyes and then Wright, you know, start their career with the Mets and watch them progress, you know, throughout their respective careers, you know. So Reyes was the first guy that I rooted for, that I got to see him debut. And another thing is he debuted a day before me and his 20th birthday, because me and Reyes shared the same birthday, June 11, 1983. So that was another reason that made me become a fan, you know, a fan of his also. So, you know, obviously he left because Mets weren't willing to give him the contract, because Alderson feared that Reyes, you know, wouldn't be able to, you know, maintain, you know, the being the speedster, the base stealing threat, you know, the defensive, you know, wizard. I wouldn't say, you know, Ozzie Smith type, but, you know, a very formidable defensive shortstop in his heyday. But, you know, as a result, after he left, you know, he took the money because obviously the Mets weren't willing to match the deal or come close to the deal. So as a result, he took the money. 2011, the Marlin owner promised him that he was going to stay for the long haul. He even bought a home in Miami. And then in that off season, he traded the owner of the Marlins traded him away. I think it was Sampson, if my memory serves me right. He traded him away, Reyes away, with all the key acquisitions they got that year, Burley, Heath Bell. And I think there was other key acquisitions they had that year, because that offseason, the Marlins was in win mode. But, you know, they even had Ozzie Guillen be the manager for that 1 year. And even though they had all the talented players, it didn't work out. And they end up trading all those people. They fired Guillen and blew up the entire team. So then ever since then, Reyes hasn't been happy. He had the money that he always wanted, but he wasn't happy. He bounced around to Toronto, And then most recently with the Rockies, where they, you know, they recently released him a few days ago. And as a result, he's a, you know, the Rockies are going to pay him the remainder of his contract. And he just a few hours ago on Saturday afternoon, he signed a minor league deal to return, you know, where his career started with the Mets. But this time, instead of being the all-star shortstop or part-time second baseman when Kaz Matsui briefly took that spot, he's going to be a utility guy off the bench. He's going to play shortstop, second base, but primarily third base since Wright, his longtime teammate, got injured, dealing with spinal stenosis, but this time he got the season-ending surgery on his neck, which basically ends the season for him. So, as a matter of fact, Reyes is going to play in the Cyclones later today, and then he's going to play in the minor leagues, bounce around different parts of the minor leagues for the next 7 to 10 days before he makes his official Met return. So, I mean, as a Met fan, as a Reyes fan, you know, being his fan, I'm happy to see him back, but unfortunately, it's kind of, bittersweet because, you know, I wish he didn't have the domestic violence issue. You know, it would have been, purely sweet to see him back. I mean, I'm happy to see him back. I mean, I know he's not going to be the same player, but, you know, I really hope, as, you know, he said and Alderson said, he's remorseful for what he did. And hopefully Reyes will use this second chance and the counseling that he's continuing to seek. Hopefully, you know, he'll learn from his mistake and hopefully prevent somebody else from doing the same stupid, inexcusable mistake he did when he attacked his woman, you know. What are your thoughts on this?
Right now, you know, he's facing that controversy still from that domestic dispute that he had with his wife. And let's be honest, that's his greatest hit since 06.
Don't go there.
Just saying. But let's be real here. Jose Reyes hasn't been the same player since he left the Mets, honestly.
Absolutely.
You know, before he left the Mets, he was hitting like over 300 almost every year, or close to 300.
Yeah.
After that, his numbers dipped. After that season, he never caught more than 30 bases. You know, this was a guy who caught 60, 64 bases, 70 bases a year. You know, he's not the same player as he used to be.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's just lack of motivation or if he just got older or if his injuries, but he's definitely not the same player that we saw years ago. And, you know, we'll just have to see if if returning to the Mets will get him back at that level. But I don't know, man. It's he has a lot of things to overcome right now, especially, you know, that domestic dispute that he was recently involved in with his wife.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, hopefully Reyes has a super utility guy. He can, provide a spark for the Mets and lead off, you know, whenever he plays. And hopefully he will put this horrible thing that he caused, you know, with the domestic dispute behind him. And hopefully, he'll truly learn from his mistake because second chances are hard to come by. So I hope he really takes this second chance to the fullest.
Yeah.
And I wish him well, you know. And I just hope he's really remorseful, as he said, and you know he can, you know, hopefully fix his turn his life around on and off the field. So I wish him all the best. him and his family all the best.
Yeah, definitely.
But shifting gears, let's talk about something I thought I wouldn't see for a long time, if ever, and that's Dean Ambrose finally winning a championship in the WWE.
Yeah. Finally.
I mean, that right there, Ambrose, I mean, that pay-per-view event was clearly the best pay-per-view event this entire year. Better than WrestleMania, better than Extreme Rules. Money in the Bank was WrestleMania in a sense, because they took everybody who should have won. AJ Styles beat Cena in an awesome match. Yeah, the ending was shady, because even though AJ Styles dominated the match, you know, he had the little interference by the his club members, Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows, who interfered in the match when the referee got knocked out. Then you got New Day retaining the titles, which I wanted to happen, but I didn't think it was going to happen. But luckily it did, and I was wrong about that. It's good to be wrong sometimes. So, yep, New Day.
Yeah, you've been picking against New Day for a long time now.
Yeah, hey, I guess I should continue picking against New Day, and hopefully they keep winning.
I guess so.
Because, New Day rocks, and they're still the champion.
I don't see them losing until SummerSlam Survivor Series, to be honest with you.
I think you're right. And they're plus they're close to breaking, I think it was Brian Kendrick and Paul London's record, I think, holding titles, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So hopefully they'll hold on to the titles at least past SummerSlam in Brooklyn, hopefully, a few months from now. What else happened? Rusev defeated Titus O'Neil, which I had a feeling that would happen. And Rusev taunted Titus O'Neil's family, kids in front of him. You got that one wrong.
Yeah.
But, I hope you were right, because I was rooting for – what were you saying? I'm sorry.
No, I said I thought O'Neil would win that match.
Yeah, I was hoping O'Neil would win, but I had a feeling Rusev would win, since he just gained the title, like, maybe a few months ago. Let me see. Charlotte won. Charlotte and Dana Brooks defeated Natalya and Becky Lynch. And after the match was over, Natalya joined a long list of people who betrayed Becky Lynch and attacked her at the end of the match. I heard the rumor was that Becky Lynch was going to turn heel, but luckily they didn't do that, and Natalya instead turned heel and attacked her instead. Let me see what else. The Money in the Bank match, that was awesome, as expected.
Yeah.
I was thinking Kevin Owens was going to win, which would have been an awesome decision as well, but I'm glad Dean Ambrose won, because as you all know, Rock is my all-time favorite wrestler. But right now, Dean Ambrose is my favorite guy right now, in the business right now. So I was so excited to see him win the Money in the Bank. Like I said, sometimes it's good to be wrong, and I was wrong. And I was hoping WWE would be brave and smart and make Dean Ambrose win the Money in the Bank and then cash it in on Seth Rollins after Seth Rollins would defeat Roman Reigns, which is exactly what happened. I didn't think Roman Reigns was going to lose that easily. I mean, it was a tough match, a gritty match. The match probably went 20 minutes before the Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns title match. But to see Reigns lose cleanly after two consecutive pedigrees, it was shocking to see. And once Seth Rollins won, once Dean Ambrose won the bank, I had a feeling that was going to happen. That gave me hope that Dean Ambrose would cash in on Seth Rollins, and sure enough, Seth Rollins won. So, you know, me and everybody else was just hoping, praying, and waiting to see if or when Dean Ambrose was going to come out. And once his music hit, I knew he was going to come out from behind. I knew he was going to come out from behind. And as soon as he turned around, wham, hit them with the – Ambrose hit him with the Money in the Bank briefcase, cashed it in, started the match, hit another Dirty Deeds, and history was made. 1, 2, 3. Here's your winner and the new WWE World Heavyweight Champion, Dean Ambrose. And I was marking out, man. I was excited. I was like, man, I couldn't believe it, man. You know, and congratulations to Dean Ambrose. He is the new WWE champion. And what's your thoughts, man?
Yeah, well, you know, I had a feeling he was going to win it. You know, there was no doubt on my mind because I didn't think it would be a right decision to have Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn win the Money in Bank since those two are currently still in a feud with each other. So it wouldn't make sense to make either one of those guys win. I mean, the other option would have been Cesaro, but even Cesaro, I don't know if they would have made that decision to have him win the Money in the Bank. Best decision was to give Dean Ambrose the Money in Bank title, and, you know, WWE did it right this time. They made him win it. And I didn't think he was going to cash it that night, to be honest. I actually thought Roman Reigns would retain the title, and maybe Dean Ambrose would cash it in some other night and maybe turn heel, but ended up cashing in the same night against Rollins and winning it, and yeah, man, I was just as pumped, excited that he finally won it. You know, it's been long overdue for Dean Ambrose.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what I was hoping. I was hoping that would happen, but knowing how WWE always usually plays it safe, I had a feeling we were going to get a predictable ending. Roman Reigns retained the title against Rollins, and then afterwards, Kevin Owens would challenge him, you know, tease that he would, battle him for the title and then eventually cash it in on him, eventually. But with Dean Ambrose winning the Money in the Bank, I was like, okay, now we have a shot now. Now, that, for me, was validation that WWE views this guy as a future world champion. Because there's only one person that had the Money in the Bank, and he never won it. I mean, there's two people who had Money in the Bank opportunities and cashed in and lost. Obviously, one is Damian Sandow, of course. And, of course, John Cena, who, he lost because that Big Show interfered. So that's how he wasn't able to cash in the Money in the Bank. I think against CM Punk, if my memory serves me right,
for
the title. So those are the two people that won Money in the Bank and didn't win. And obviously Cena did all right for his career. I think last time I checked, as we speak, he's a 15-time champion. And of course, as we all know, he's going to win it. Whether we like it or not, he's going to win at least twice because he's definitely going to break. He's going to tie and break Ric Flair's, championship reign record. You know, WWE, NWCW/NWA title records combined. So, you know, that's going to happen eventually. But kudos to WWE. They kept an awesome rivalry between the Shield brothers going on. The Baron Corbin versus Dolph Ziggler match, which went on for the 2000-5000 match. And we didn't care. I didn't care who was going to win. Yeah, Baron Corbin, I believe, if my memory serves me right, he won again. But I didn't care about that. Hopefully, they'll never face each other again. But
probably will
but,
for the
yeah,
1,001 time.
Will. Yeah, probably will. For all I know, they could have battled each other on SmackDown. Did they fight each other on Raw? I can't even remember.
I don't
they
know about
have.
That.
I can't remember.
Sure.
But now the Wyatt family is starting a feud with the New Day. That's going to be interesting. Looking forward to that. Luke Harper looks like he's hurt, still hurt. So he's the only guy that's not there out of the the Wyatt family. That's another interesting thing to keep an eye on. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to see what they're going to do with Raw with Dean Ambrose as champion, man. And, of course, Roman Reigns. There's a rumor that the reason why Dean Ambrose won the title is because Roman Reigns got suspended for the performance-enhancing drug. So, as a result, WWE canned their idea, their predictable ending with Roman Reigns retaining the title. And they went with the move that they should have did. I mean, what they should have did at WrestleMania. WrestleMania should have been Dean Ambrose instead of Roman Reigns winning the title. Because, I mean, he's clearly the most popular guy in the company. So, Dean Ambrose should have been champion. Dean Ambrose should have been on the road to WrestleMania instead of Roman Reigns. But they rectified the situation. Dean Ambrose is the new champion. And it's going to be awesome seeing him, as he mentioned in one of his promos, that he is the prey instead of the hunter. So it's going to be interesting to see Dean Ambrose as a champion and how long he'll be a champion. And hopefully they won't make him into a transitional champion. But I have faith that hopefully he'll retain the title past the Survivor Series. So
we'll
see what happens.
Yeah, I hope so.
Any last words you'd like to say?
Check out my show, iMac, Saturdays at 11. Come back here, check out Sports of Religion. It's Sundays at midnight.
Yep. You heard the man. Oh, yeah, by the way, Mets are gonna you know, possibly acquire, are looking to talk with Gorio, a former Cuban player who played with Cespedes, and he's familiar with Chapman, too. But I'm William Ramos. He's Macaulay Matthews. I'll see you guys next week on another episode of Sports and the Legend every Saturday at 12 a.m.